At the beginning of the week, Tim Scott announced his bid for presidency. Yesterday, Joy Behar and the crew of The View went all in on him. We're going to talk about that coming up. And Elon Musk, is he influencing elections? That's what people have been concerned about. Well, guess what? Ron DeSantis is going to be on a Twitter space with him later on today, here Wednesday evening. Will he announce that he's running for president? What is Elon's role in all of this? And how will Twitter influence it? All that and many more stories coming right up. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. We've reached Wednesday. It is hump day. Woo woo. And there are a ton of stories for us to be able to talk about. I can't wait to get into all of them. But first, just a quick reminder to go to www.americaoutloud.com where you can see all my colleagues' work, hear all the great podcasts, as well as 24/7 talk radio. You can download the America Out Loud app and check out those shows too, live throughout the day, every day, 365 days a week. All right, let's get straight into it. First, I'll give you an update on me. As you may know, last Friday I broke my ankle, rolled it on a water bottle one, Greg zero. I took that loss like a champ. Today I saw the orthopedic and was able to get a boot. So now I have a boot on my foot so I can walk around with one crutch instead of two crutches. Bearing weight is still pretty painful, but they explained to me that there is a ligament that when I stretched out, it chose to, instead of tear the ligament, it tore off a piece of bone. Now, that piece of bone has about a 50-50 chance, according to the orthopedic, of fusing back together. If it doesn't fuse back together, that might be okay, but they told me I won't know for about 2 months whether or not I need surgery, which is absolutely ridiculous to think that I'm going to be recovering for the next 2 months from this broken bone and the torn ligaments. Then after that, I got to start physical therapy. And then after that, they'll tell me whether or not I need surgery on my ankle. So as you can imagine, I've been a little bit down about this. My energy probably, I'm trying to hide it pretty well, but my energy is just isn't what it should be. And I'm going to explain to you why. And before we get into the politics stuff, maybe this kind of helps other people. For me, I've been kind of in a funk, just the Monday through Friday grind, right? Go to work, teach, take my kids to their soccer games and soccer practices and everything, which is fun. It's great. I enjoy that. And then after that, do the show and get it all ready, rinse, wash, and repeat for the next day. But I had a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel because the school year is almost over. And so I was looking forward to the summer, being able to take trips down to the beach, hang out with my kids, just do this show, start interviewing people that are a little bit more where I have the time to travel, go do more shows for the America Out Loud Network, and build this. And now I just feel like I got this setback. So when you're looking forward to something and you envision that this is the way my summer is going to be, and now that's not the way my summer is going to be, it's really, it's depressing, quite honestly. So I'm kind of dealing with that, and I'm just being upfront with all of you about it. But I'll get through. I'll be fine. I'm going to keep sending good vibes, prayers, whatever it is that you're all into, my way for my ankle, that it heals 100% completely without any type of surgery, and that I'm on the shorter side of the two-month recovery and start that physical therapy. And by, I guess, the end of July, I'm back to doing physical therapy and getting back into the swing of things. That's my hope. But it's just really upending my life right now. And, you know, if you have stuff that's upending your life, we all have challenges in health. We all have things that we're going through. And certainly I'm thinking of you all as well, my listeners. And so we'll all get through this together. Absolutely. And another really cool thing that's coming up, though, that has me bummed, but at the same time super excited, was I was asked to officiate a wedding of a former youth that I worked with when I was a youth minister. And so he's getting married, and so I'm supposed to officiate this wedding on Saturday. And of course, now I got the walking boot, things will be better because I can actually stand up there and be able to say the wedding without a ton of pain and maybe get up there without the crutches. So I'm excited about that, but then I want to make everything perfect, and I'm a perfectionist. And of course, now I'm like looking at what I wrote months ago. I did a new revision of it today, and I will likely continue the tinker with this revision each day all the way up until the wedding. And then at the wedding, who knows, I might just throw out the script and just go off the top of my head. But we'll see how that goes. The life of a perfectionist is not a good one. At some point in time, you just got to say, it's finished. I think in some ways, that was always my hardest part about being a musician, was being able to finish a song and say, I've done enough. Because to be honest, the work is never finished with the creative. There's always something else that you want to do. Anyway, that's not why you listen to the show. Well, maybe it is. Maybe you like it when I talk to you guys just about what's going on in my life. But I believe you're looking for the stories, what's going on in this country, and a little bit of what is the breakdown. You know, let's get straight to the truth of it. So let's get straight to Tim Scott. So Tim Scott announced that he is running for president on Monday. He did a live stream through Facebook and Twitter. I guess it was through a bunch of different platforms, really. But he made his announcement that he was going to be running for president. Now, when he did this, I recorded part of it because when he starts shouting, "Of President of the United States, let's go!" It immediately reminded me of President Camacho from the movie Idiocracy. Now, I don't know anything really about Tim Scott as a person, so please don't take my Idiocracy and President Camacho as anything. Maybe he's nothing like the guy. But what I was trying to get to is just the shouting and screaming. It kind of reminded me of it a little bit, and I thought it was funny. But I always thought that Donald Trump kind of reminded me of President Camacho at times as well. So it's nothing personal, Tim, if you're listening to this show. It's just simply, it was a funny moment that I noticed. Now, for those that aren't familiar with Tim Scott, he's down in South Carolina. He's been a junior United Senator since 2013, and he's a Republican. Now, he was appointed originally to the U.S. Senate by Governor Nikki Haley back in 2013, but he had a special election in 2014, of which he won, and then was elected to two full terms, both in 2016 and the most recent election in 2022. So he's been in politics for almost, I guess, 10 years now. Yeah, 10 years. I can do math. That's easy. All right. So he's been in politics for the past 10 years, but he talked about his background. He grew up in a working class poverty with his mother working 16-hour days to support his family. His oldest brother became a sergeant major in the U.S. Army to help make sure that he could provide for himself. And he said that he wasn't a good student, that at one point he had really bad grades. His mom basically told him, you're going to turn those grades around. Maybe a couple other things happened, made kind of a reference to his mother put some hands on him possibly. And as a result, he said, I never failed another class. After that, he knew that he was on a straight and arrow, and that was the strength of having a wonderful mother who was looking after him. Now, his parents were divorced when he was just 7 years old, and I don't know what his relationship is like with his father. But that's kind of a nutshell of his childhood. I don't have a ton of other information to share on that because I'd have to be able to research him. But some of his political positions as a Republican, he believes that federal spending and taxes should be reduced, which is going to play into today's show a little bit as we get to the debt ceiling and whether or not the Republicans and the Congress with Biden are going to come to an agreement before June 1st. I don't think they will, but we'll get into that in just a moment. He believes in a fair tax and a balanced budget amendment, which is both something that I've probably heard me say on my show. I believe in a one-page tax code. If I don't understand it, then it should be illegal. Everybody should pay the same fair tax, and it should be very easy to understand. some of his positions. He believes in repealing the Affordable Care Act as well. He opposes restrictions on deep water oil drilling. He wants to build more into the infrastructure and public works within his district. He describes himself as pro-life, but he supports adult and cord blood stem cell research, which is in line more with the traditional Christian side of that. He opposes taxpayer-funded embryonic stem cell research, which I believe was George Bush when he was president around 2002, 2003. He made that big speech trying to make it illegal to do so. Opposes assisted suicide, and he also opposes same-sex marriage. He also believes in the opposition of gender identity in schools, and he and Senator Rick Scott, who's not related to him, also co-sponsored the Protect Kids Act, which restricts federal funding to any schooling or institutions that allow preferred pronouns in gender-fluid bathrooms and locker rooms, as well as those that conceal children's sexual orientation from their parents, among other measures. He is very much strong against immigration, making sure that we have a pathway to citizenship instead of allowing it illegally. He falls in line pretty much with all of the Republican talking points across the board for the most part. Now, with all that stated and hearing about his childhood, The View host went after him on Tuesday. They compared him to the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And Joy Behar argued that neither Clarence Thomas nor Tim Scott understand systemic racism. Let me just point out, Joy Behar is about as white as you can get. And she's telling a black man that he does not understand systemic racism. She goes further into all of that by saying that he's one of those guys, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican who believes in pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African-Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it. Neither does Clarence. And that's why they're Republicans. Does anybody still watch this crap? Like, does anybody sit there and go, wait a minute, time out. Like, if you're a person of color and you're watching Joy Behar say this, are you offended having a white woman say what you, as a black man or as a person of color, a black woman, whatever it may be, if you don't understand discrimination if you're a Republican? Really? Explain to me how a gentleman who just got done talking about his childhood and that it wasn't always easy, how he doesn't understand if there is racism in the country or that he was possibly ever treated differently. And then why does it have to be exclusive that he can't be a Republican? Notice that it's a white person telling a black person what they can and can't be. The irony in that, Joy, you know, the sooner that show ever got canceled, the better off the country would be, because there's people that believe this crap. There's people that watch this on a daily basis. Now, Whoopi Goldberg also was trying to call him out and also compared him to Clarence Thomas syndrome. So maybe Joy Behar can't have an original thought. And she was like, well, my black friend said this, so I guess I'll say it too. It's wrong on both sides. It's wrong if a black person's dismissing another black person's experience in this country. And it's especially wrong if a person who's white who says, well, we don't really know what a black person goes through, but yet they want to open their mouth and say, well, that's why they're Republicans. That's this imposter syndrome that he has. No, that doesn't get the work with any of this. Now, Tim Scott fired back yesterday and said, my life disproves the lies of the radical left. And that's exactly what this is. The left is lying to you when they tell you that you can't vote for a black man who's Republican, because they obviously deny the fact that they might have been treated differently by the color of their skin at some point in time. Instead, if you listen to Tim Scott, He actually responded in saying, "We have to ignore the far left by disproving their lies by our actions. Here's the funny thing," he continues. "The host, Sunny, she wants to be judged by the content of her character, not the color of her skin. The fact of the matter is, America is a story of evolution, a never-told story of evolution in too many of our schools that are indoctrinating our kids instead of educating our kids." So, The View is pretty radical left at times, and this is one of those times that I believe that they deserve people to clap back and shout them back down and say, this is disgusting, the comments that you're making to a black man, especially Joy Behar. You owe Tim Scott an apology. Shame on you. You're a disgusting human being to try to take the moral high ground, and it just looks bad for you. It looks horrible for you. You look like the idiot that you are. It's kind of like the old saying that my mom used to say, you know, rather keep your mouth shut and have people think that you're an idiot than to speak up and confirm it. Well, Joy Behar, you spoke up repeatedly over your career and you continue to confirm it over and over again. Thank you for the entertainment. But at some point in time, you really owe Tim Scott an apology, as well as all the other people that you've been offending throughout your career. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break here. When I come back, we're going to talk about Elon Musk. Is he going to be influencing the next election with Twitter? Because he is sitting down later today with Ron DeSantis. And will Ron DeSantis announce his bid for presidency live on this Twitter space? And since Elon Musk is doing this for him, and does that mean he has to do it for everybody? We'll talk about that on the other side. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break here. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. Second half of the show is here. Let's get straight into it. Elon Musk hosting Ron DeSantis. Is this a election interference in any way, shape, or form for Elon? He's going to have Florida governor on, and the rumors are that he's going to announce that he's running for president during this discussion. Now, Elon Musk is bringing him onto the Twitter space. Is this fair? Should Tim Scott's have been on a Twitter space? Should any RFK Jr., should everybody at this point be on there? Or is this Elon Musk interfering with an election? So at 6 p.m. here on Wednesday, Eastern Standard Time, David Sachs, who's a tech entrepreneur, will be working with Musk as well as DeSantis to make this thing happen. They're saying that the same time, the campaign will be releasing a launch video, and the DeSantis will also begin visiting several states that are going to be early voters immediately after Memorial Day. So what is up with this relationship with Elon? Is this in some way, shape, or form him giving a support to the DeSantis? I find this very intriguing to think that RFK Jr.'s announced, Nikki Haley's announced, Tim Scott's announced, and there's been nothing on Twitter Spaces offered by Musk until DeSantis. So this seems to me like it's him giving his support. This is kind of dangerous, isn't it? And isn't it what people on the left have been saying they're concerned about with Elon? And I think that it's valid criticism. If Elon Musk is going to be putting his support in a certain individual and giving that type of space content and not doing it for other people, will that be seen in any way, shape, or form as a contribution to a campaign? And if it's not seen as a contribution to a campaign, shouldn't it be seen that way? I know that it's something that's a privately owned company. He should be able to do whatever he wants to do, but this just doesn't seem right considering the source of Twitter and what it can become as far as influencing the rest of the world. And so I'm going to be extremely interested in this as of this recording here on Wednesday. They have not had this, but I want to know what's going on and see how this all shakes out. And I'm also really looking forward to hearing the left melt down over all of this. You know, I'm not a DeSantis fan if you've been listening to my show. But that all stated, I'm also not a Joe Biden fan by any means whatsoever. So just waiting to kind of hear back what's going to happen with all of this. All right, so that is the next part of the headlines. The other things I was going to talk about here, now that we got Ron DeSantis, is we got to talk about debt ceiling. All right, apparently, as of Tuesday, close of the day, they were nowhere near a ceiling deal. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here on Wednesday morning, but from what Jake Sherman reported, he said, we are nowhere near a deal yet. That's what he heard inside a closed house GOP meeting. And it's what Speaker McCarthy was telling them. And he went on to say that he told the president three things. There is no clean debt limit, no raising taxes, and spend less money. Remember where we were. They refused to negotiate. And McCarthy continued on by showing a video with a chronology of Democrats saying they wouldn't negotiate. Now, this is all brought to me by Jake Sherman via Twitter. That is the source of this information. Negotiations. I firmly believe that there should be no deal made. It's insane to think that we're going to continue to punt this nuclear football down the road until one day someone's going to kick it and it's going to explode. It's much better now to go, we have a nuclear football. We need to figure out what we're going to do with this toxic waste. How are we going to handle it? And I think in this case, the Republicans are taking a courageous hardline stand. But in my mind, it's not far enough. I wish the Republicans were saying, you know what? Nah, let it die. Let's kill a lot of these government programs and let's move on. Instead, the Republicans and McCarthy, they're a little bit hawkish. They want to maintain the Pentagon budgets. They want to maintain the military budgets. Everything's on the table in a Greg Bolden budget. Under my type of administration, I would make sure we say, we got this nuclear football, here's the waste, and we need to bury it in multiple different places. It's going to be painful. There are going to be people and communities that are affected. We will get through it. And once we get through it, we will be able to rebuild. But that's likely not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they'll get an extension put on. They'll continue to negotiate. People will cave. And eventually, they'll just increase the debt ceiling. And then the news media will tell everybody, don't worry about it. It's normal. We can have all of this. And not focus on the fact that it's not normal. And it's going to make us less safe against a BRICS deal in the future. But apparently, I don't know what I'm talking about because BRICS doesn't have any signed agreements. I just have to talk about how countries are now accepting yuan instead of dollars. But yeah, there's no signed agreements, Greg Bolden, so you must be a nut. So all of this will get cleared up, I promise you. They'll likely just cut a deal in some way, shape, or form. They'll hold the country hostage for a couple weeks, likely, make people panic, and then they'll sign something. Biden will use this as cannon fodder. The Democrats will take this into the 2024 election. But the truth of the matter is, there needs to be spending cuts. We need to cut into the nation's debt ceiling right now, not tomorrow, not next year, but right now. Despite me saying this, there was a poll ran by CNN, I think SSRS was the ones that reported it, that a broad majority of Americans favor raising the debt ceiling. Well, that's because 84% of Americans are morons that aren't realizing what this is going to do to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and possibly their great-great-grandchildren. And only 15% say Congress should not do so. Well, those 15% might also be idiots, but I at least side with that side of the idiots rather than the 84%. And then there's 60% who support raising the ceiling alongside spending cuts. All right, that's a little bit less idiotic. Okay. And 24% say just raise it. It should happen no matter what. Again, 24%, one out of every four Americans, you're a moron. And I'm glad that CNN ran this poll because that way I can count four people tomorrow as I'm walking around and I go, you're a moron, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, you're a moron, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, you're a moron. And if I just do that, maybe that will make me feel a little bit about where I'm at. Well, who am I kidding? I can't even leave the house right now with my ankle. I'm not seeing anybody, but I'll watch television and I'll be like, that person's a moron. Actually, maybe that's where they're all at. So what do you guys want to do about the debt ceiling? Would you like to see the economic pain that's going to come when we default? Or do you want to see everything just kind of continue to be business as usual and pretend that the sky isn't falling? Meanwhile, the sky is crushing us. And we're getting pushed by a 10-ton train down the railroad tracks, and we're going to wind up at a stop we don't want to be at. Hopefully, we don't wind up underneath the train. Hear what I'm saying? But this situation is not good, but it's absolutely predictable. Absolutely predictable. Biden, really, at this point in time, he doesn't have any good options on what to do. He is a soulless leader of this country when it comes to the debt ceiling. He doesn't know how to handle McCarthy. And I got to be honest, I have no confidence in Kevin McCarthy either. I really wish he wasn't the Speaker of the House. I think that he is a rhino in many ways and said all the right things. He's a power-hungry... I'm not going to say that word. No, I'm just going to call it. He's a power-hungry whore. That's exactly who he is. And so he's in that office and he's going to play the games right now. But America, we're the ones that are going to lose as he's playing those games. And I'm not really for that whatsoever. And then there's this other headline that came up and I'm just like, this makes me really pissed. It makes me upset because I worked for the Catholic Church for about 9 years, 8.5 years. And in Illinois, they found that the Catholic clergy sexually abused kids far more often than what anyone knew before. In fact, they investigated and found that there were 451 Catholic clergy that abused 1,997 children between 1950 and 2019. Now, many of those statute of limitations has expired, so people will never be able to get justice. They're never going to be able to file for anything. Although in Delaware, they reopened up things for a period of time, which is how the Diocese of Wilmington had to file for bankruptcy because they found out, ooh, some priest did some no-no stuff. But here's what I can tell you about all that. Here's why I get so frustrated. You shouldn't have needed this investigation here to tell us that there were 1,997 children. If there's 1,997 children that were abused between 1950 and 2019, I guarantee someone heard about it at some point in time, and I guarantee that it continued to be covered up because that's what the Catholic Church has a history of doing. In the Diocese of Wilmington, there was a priest that recently retired. And at one point in time, I don't want to get too far into the weeds with this one, but I'll just leave it at this. This individual, when they were a very young priest, knew that another priest was sexually molesting and abusing young boys. They did nothing. They knew about it. Now, they remained a priest that became a pastor of multiple different parishes. And I just want to ask, you know, why is it that if you know and you didn't report, you're not a criminal as well? It's one of the reasons why I stopped working for the church. There were some phenomenal priests, people that I really loved. They were awesome. But there were many more people that I came in contact with that just were completely mental, absolutely mental. And on top of that, I mean, we're all a little mental, I guess, in a little way. So I'm not trying to bring it down. But I mean, mental in a way that is, you got some major issues. And on top of that, lots of people that were still the old guard at the time that knew of the abuse and they sat silent. You're a coward if you sit silent. You can't tell me that your faith and your oath to being a priest should have kept you silent in all of that. It is a mental abuse of the people in the pews when you do this type of stuff, because you don't believe that you can tell anybody for the fact that it's part of your faith. It is something that is intimately a part of you, and therefore you're like, well, maybe I deserve this, or maybe this is being done. And it's a really disgusting, horrible psychological side as to why people normally never reported their abuse. But here in Illinois, 1,997 children. Now, if each one of those children went on to have their own families, that's 1,997 families that have likely been in some way, shape, or form destroyed by sexual abuse. Because we know, according to the statistics, that those that are abused go on to abuse or go on to commit suicide or not have positive life outcomes with their own families. So I think that that is something that's just morally abhorrent, and I wanted to cover it on the show when I saw it. Another thing that ended up happening, if you want to go into the paranormal as we wrap up today's show, there is a story that came out that there was a black half football field sized triangular UFO that hovered over a California military base for 10 minutes before it vanished, and the footage was taken by Marines. All right, so this wasn't footage taken by, you know, just a regular civilian. It was an 8:29 p.m. video taken about 2 years ago. And the troops were shooting flares into the sky to try to illuminate the objects, which had five red lights. Now, this is a UFO in the sense of when I looked at it, it looks similar to me, like maybe they were testing some type of object that was going on. It doesn't mean it's aliens, but it's once again in that triangular type of formation. Why is this stuff always happening out west? You know, the Phoenix Lights out in Arizona. We have lots of sightings in California. And we have the Skinwalker Ranch out there, too. So it makes me wonder, what's going on out there that's the truth is out there? And then the last headline that I saw today that I was like, wow, this is interesting. It's claiming that mass extinctions of Earth's wildlife is closer than we think. It says that extinctions are preceded by progressive species population declines over time, which leaves traces that can alert scientists to imminent extinction. And now they're seeing this in a ton of different species throughout the world. They're looking at over 70,000 different types of animals, five different vertebrae groups, and they were able to figure out large-scale erosions of different species across the board. That's not good for us. We need that to stay stable, because that helps make sure that everything is good for humans in the future. And I'm not sure if you heard about what's going on in New Jersey with the dolphins, but a friend of mine sent me that entire story. But dolphins are beaching themselves. Like a ton of dolphins are beaching themselves on the South Jersey shore. Almost every day in May, since May 6th, they're finding another dolphin. A few days, I think it was May 18th, they found two dolphins. And May 21st, another two dolphins, but in different spots. Why? Why are the dolphins coming in from the water and washing themselves up? Normally, nature's trying to tell us a story when these type of things happen. I'll be paying attention to this one because it's close by to where I live. There have been 45 so far. Now, normally, in a complete year, there's 50. Right now, in New Jersey, we have 45. That's completely unheard of. So people are wondering if it's something toxic in the water. We have the seaweed that's coming in Florida. Is that something that's causing the dolphins to come up here? Is there some type of sickness that they have? Is it something tied to, you know, wind turbines that they're building? I don't know. What is it that is killing the dolphins off the New Jersey coast? So anyway, that's all I have for you today. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to have a fun little interview that I'm looking forward to bringing to you all. And I'm going to leave that guest for you to be surprised by. I think that that sometimes can be better. So that way you don't judge ahead of hearing the show. All right, everybody. I hope I honored your time well today. If you'd like to support me in my efforts, you know, help me get better, put a smile on my face, go to AmericaEmboldened.com. That's my website. You can help support the show right there. Lots of different ways you can do so. Buy me a cup of coffee, give, send, go, whatever it may be. Or you can just hop on and say hi. Go to @RealGregBolden on Twitter. I'd love to follow along with the conversation. Love speaking with everybody. That's it, everybody. Hope you've been well. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.